Let's face it, living takes guts, and living a full life takes a lot of guts. Igniting Courage podcast is the place you can come to get a blast of courage from real people who are clawing their way through life just like you are. We're going to talk about big courage and also little daily courage. You'll hear people's opinions on how to build courage and how to summon it when you would rather join the circus and never be heard from again. So welcome. I'm glad you had the guts to show up for this conversation.
Hey there, and thank you for joining me for another fabulous episode of Igniting Courage podcast. We are on episode 59, and this is my interview with another amazingly courageous person, Evelyn Ortman. She is an absolute figurehead in the fitness industry as a trainer for Les Mills, but also a personal trainer in her own gym back in New Jersey. She is just an incredible pillar of strength, not only physically, but also mentally. She's an inspiring woman, has some incredible insights on courage and how, as we age, especially in the fitness industry, we kind of have to redefine ourselves in order to stay relevant. And it takes a ton of courage, and it takes a ton of putting your ego aside, being emotionally intelligent, and continuing to contribute in a positive way, despite the fact that things are changing beyond your control. So it's an incredibly courageous bunch of information we've got from Evelyn to help you move through life and move through the chapters of your life without trying to cling to the things that have gone beyond you. So enjoy this awesome interview with one of my favorite people. Heck, all of these interviews are with my favorite people, but Evelyn's one of my top. So enjoy, y'all.
All right. Welcome to Igniting Courage podcast. Evelyn, how are you today?
I am super, super, super. How are you, Ann Bonnie?
Just the same. I'm talking to you.
I know, right? I haven't talked to you in forever, and we're always on the same page.
Yeah, no, it's true. And as I was thinking about, like, courage and who did I want to invite on the show, your name came up because not only, you know, do you just live a courageous life as a confident person, but you're going through some things right now that are requiring your confidence and your courage. So I'm excited to share all of that. But let's start with just today. Where has courage showed up for you today?
Ugh. Well, I recently turned 50. Yay, me!
Yay, 50! It's the new 40.
50.
You know.
It is. I was told it was a new 30, so thanks for pushing the envelope forward. No, whatever. No, it's fine. Yeah, no. You can take all the seats, Ann Bonnie. you own the seats. It's really just showing up and teaching classes in a space where I need to have a different perspective. Like, who am I teaching to? Is it people that are younger than me? Is it people that are older than me? And as someone who is, again, recently hitting these, you know, big numbers, what happens after 50? Is it a precipitous decline in my fitness? Or can I be, like, do I just, like, pull the ripcord and I just coast down to retirement or what?
But some people do. I suspect you won't, though.
I hope I don't. I think some people do, and that's what they do. But if there are people that are older or younger, and I still have the ability to inspire them to be at whatever they are in their fitness journey, that's super. That's amazing.
Well, and just to clarify for the audience, I know Evelyn through group exercise. She was a trainer for Les Mills, a company that I used to work for, and you were one of the three combat trainings that I went through. I think
my Lord.
Passed, but I never, it might have been my first of the three.
Did I tell you to get out?
No, I don't think you could, because technically I was the one hiring you for all the training.
Oh, all right.
But you should have. You should have. So you're saying courage showed up today in your class as you're sort of redefining your role and saying, what is this now at this age?
Right.
And it's such an interesting thing. I don't know, when I'm not at 50 yet, I'm 46, but when I hit 40, I was like, oh, it's supposed to be all figured out right now. And I just went through a divorce, and I'm, you know, not happy in my job, and I'm about to start all over again. This is not what 40 is supposed to look like. And so I understand redefining what do I want to do now? Who am I in context of everything around me? Yeah.
But, you know, like, piggybacking on what you said, like, who tells us what 40 is supposed to be? Who is telling us what 50 is supposed to be? Who defines that for us? Like, it's like, seriously, like, who is saying this is what you need to be at 50? When you hit a certain age and you don't have all the boxes ticked, do I have to hand in my 50 card? Like, can I not sign up for AARP? Because they've been sending me a lot of stuff during the mail. And I'm like, wait, I get, like, free stuff at 50? Sign me up. But if I didn't, like, tick all my boxes, then do I not get all this stuff? Like, who says that to us?
Yeah. Well, and I think so much of it is in your mind. You know, you kind of have these arbitrary goals, or who my parents were at 40 or 46 or 50.
Right.
I mean, it, you know, and we make these little pictures in our head of how it's supposed to be. And some of it may be external, but I think a lot of it's internal. And so
absolutely,
the courage comes in to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, what do I want this to be? Or, or not what do I want this to be, but what is it right now? And how do I thrive in that?
Right? Because at my age, my parents already had 2 children. I don't have any. No biological children anyway. I've had multiple dog kids and a cat.
Right.
Who completely rules my life, because if I don't feed her at a certain time, she attacks my ankles. But it's like, what?
But, you know, you bring up an interesting, not only just age in general, and I have this commitment to myself to age gracefully as I, like, deny the fact that I need reading glasses and, you know, continue to dye the gray out of my hair. I'm going to really age gracefully. But in the fitness industry even more, as someone who is an aspirational and inspirational leader in the fitness industry, this is also a very different conversation. So talk to me about courage in your industry and with age. I mean, because it's a really relevant conversation.
Yeah, it's I always loved the high intensity classes since I was in my 20s. I'm like, I'm gonna do grit, and I'm gonna do CrossFit, and I'm gonna do all of these high intensity things. And then you hit a point where I'm like, I can still do them. Can I inspire people to push beyond? Or is it time for me to step away and be a participant and not necessarily the instructor at the front of the room? And that's been some hard conversations mentally where I'm like, all right, I can still be amazing at 50, but am I going to inspire a 20-year-old who's coming into the room? Maybe not. And that's, you know, maybe I can, maybe I can't. That's a conversation that I need to have with my true self. But if the answer is no, then can I have the courage to step back and say, okay, I may not be the instructor, but I can teach the instructor that's going to train you to be better.
Yeah.
And how am I going to do that? Is it going to be the experience I've had teaching this format? What words can you use? I'm going to help you with your coaching and your scripting and the stuff that you need to say and do throughout this class. Can I help you with what you need to do?
Well, and it's that courage to evolve what you're doing, you know, and your middle name is badass. So, I mean, you know, you teach the mixed martial arts classes. You take the, or taught, I don't know where you are now, but the high-intensity interval training, that's your middle name. And people know you for that. And so giving yourself permission to evolve and say, that was who I was, and I was phenomenal at it. I'm going to pass it on to the next generation, and I'm going to help them be as awesome as I was in a different way. And that courage to evolve is so hard. And it takes some guts and some knowledge.
Well, it's the courage to be able to look at yourself in a real way, right? So yeah, for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you could be at the pinnacle of your vocation. But at some point, you have to say, all right, I can no longer be at the top. What can I do to still be relevant in my job and help people who are coming up in the world or coming through this this group fitness space or this group coaching space? How can I help them and inspire them to be the best? And it's my years of experience or whoever is stepping into that world, like, can you help them be the best and pull the next generation forward? I may not be able to jump high as high or get as deep into squats or whatever, but I can tell you how to coach someone, how to feel that part of their workout. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's doing that evolution of how can I continue to be relevant?
Correct.
Gracefully. It's that graceful evolution rather than a resentful evolution. Oh, I can't jump as far. I can't jump as high and I can't squat as far. So fine, I'll teach you. So how do we become graceful and have the courage to say, this is my next chapter?
Yes. You know, if you look at sports and coaches through sports, you might have someone like Bill Belichick. He's an older guy. Is he running the football? No. Is he throwing the football? No. But he has one of the winningest teams in football ever. Why? Because he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have coaches through every sport. Look at Simone Biles, for God's sake. She is an amazing powerhouse of female energy. She got there because someone believed in her and coached her to that level. Mm-hmm. Was her coach on her team? No, not as a competitor, as someone standing on the sideline saying, hey, tweak this, do this, do this. So there is a place in the world for really, really good coaches. And coaches support their team. Coaches pull people down in a positive way who are like, okay, your head's getting too big. You're not actually as good as you think you are. So let's bring you down to earth and say, here's how you get better at what you do. Coaches guide, they help people with reflection. They step into that courageous space of, it's not about me. My name is not going to be on the marquee, and that's fine. You got to pull back, and you've got to reflect on what you're doing. And how can I still be a leader and a role model in the fitness industry, even if I'm not the one executing all the moves? How can I still be a leader and look for rock stars and inspire rock stars to be the best that they can be?
Mm-hmm. And it's such an interesting challenge because we all, whatever industry we're in, and you just got to that point where you had been comfortable in a rock star role, in the spotlight, mm-hmm. in the front. Everybody like, oh, Evelyn, oh, I love you so much. Oh, my God, you're amazing. Look at your biceps.
Right.
And you said, I need to step back and change what I'm doing. Like you said, to become relevant, because I can't be that 100% aspirational person for the 25-year-old participant in my class. So talk to me about that moment or that decision to step out of the spotlight and shift your avenue for inspiring people. Talk about the courage it took to make that decision.
I'm still working through that because that's hard. It wasn't just the, you know, when you step in onto the stage and the spotlight's on you and people are like, oh my God, it's you. And you know that for a moment, you're like, yeah, you're here to see me, but I'm also here to guide you through this thing. It's the after. What's going to happen after the microphone is turned off, when the music's done, and you're asking me questions about how you can be a better instructor? That's where I need to focus. And that's the hardest part about stepping away from that rock, quote-unquote, rock star role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that part of unplugging and, like, not being the person that steps into the room to the, you know, the flash bulbs and the people cheering and that's a little bit of ego turning off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a space where courageously you can say, I don't need to be there anymore. I can actually turn my focus to another space in a more supportive role and help to grow other people so they can then feel that. How can I help other people feel that where they're making a difference in the world? How can I get you to that next level in your teaching where you feel like you're making a difference? And if I can do that, then amen.
Yeah, and I think you started out when you said, like, yes, you're here to see me, but I'm here to guide you and make you better. You know, I think that mindset and that self-awareness and that real talk with yourself sets you up for maybe an easier transition in this salt, because all along you were like, all right, yeah, cool, I love you too. Yes, I do have nice biceps, but I'm here to help you get better. And so that focus two ways, I think, would help that. You know, somebody, I met up with an old friend from high school the other day, and what you're saying right now is resonating with something that he said that I never, ever thought about. And he was talking about his kids. He has an 18-year-old kid, just graduated from high school, and he said, you know, there's such a short period of time in your life where you are part of this cohesive family unit. He goes, like, the first 20-ish years of your life, you're by yourself. And then you step into this family with wife and kids or spouse and kids, and then they go away, and suddenly you've got 20, 40 more years
to do
your own life. And so it's really interesting as I compare that to your sort of rock star, the spotlight chapter. That's a shorter chapter, you know, in the grand scheme of life. And we always expect it to be the ongoing. And nothing is it?
Yeah.
We never think about the end.
No, we don't. We, you know, God, I thank you for bringing that up, because I felt like 2 weeks ago, my career was going to go on forever. And then you hit the speed bump where you're like, no, you can't do this forever, because a lot of what you do is tied into the physical. And physically, at 50, you're not as relevant as you were when you were 20. So how do you parlay that into a career change? And couldn't you pull out of the physical space and into the education space? But that you're asking a lot from the ego to say, well, what do you mean I can't jump as high anymore? How come I can't be part of the cheerleading squad anymore? But that takes a lot of self-reflection. And as you say, it's courage. It's courage to say, I don't need to run this race anymore because I'm running a whole other race.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be able to continue to be relevant and find my space without taking away from the people that are coming up in the ranks. I don't need to elbow you out of the way just so I can feel better about myself. What can I do to sidestep and say, hey, man, I'm here for you. What can I do to, so you didn't have to go through all the bullshit that I had to go through coming up in the ranks. What can I do to make your journey a little easier, but not so easy that you feel entitled to where you are?
Right.
What can I do to help you feel hungry and pursue what you want to do?
Right. And it's using that experience and knowledge that you've gained after years and years of falling down and getting back up to say, all right, let me pass this knowledge on and help ease that journey for everybody else, even though you're still going to fall down and get back up. But somebody help me back then. Let me be that person. And, you know, you bring up the ego. And I've been thinking so much about emotional intelligence and the importance of having the courage to say, okay, I don't need to be the center of attention right now, or I don't need to win right now, or whatever it is, whether it's a conversation with your spouse or a promotion of your job. Yeah, I really wanted that promotion. I didn't get it. Okay, let me look at why I didn't and prepare myself for next time rather than flushing myself down the toilet of despair and just wallowing in the fact that I didn't get what I wanted, right? And it's the same thing.
Right.
Just letting go of that ego. Like, I joke when I moved in with my parents at 42 to start my own business, I say, but I put all my furniture and my ego in storage.
Yeah.
And we got to have the courage to do that.
Yeah, and at the same time, that's when it's like, all right, am I giving up? Am I stepping aside? Am I self-reflecting? What is it? Am I what is it that I'm doing? And that's, again, where courage comes in. Am I just saying, you know what, this is not for me anymore, but I can still be relevant? Or am I just throwing my hands up in the air and saying, I'm giving up and I'm just quitting because I can't make an impact in this field? I don't know. And that's part of the journey, right? Is that you have to continually explore where you are and what impact you can have and what relevancy you can bring to your vocation. Is it a calling? Is it a job? If it's just a job, then step away. If it's a calling, then what can you continue to do to continue to be relevant in that vocation? And if it means that you have to dial down your physical execution, then great. But what can you do to dial up someone else's experience because of what you bring to the table?
Yeah.
And I think that's a daily struggle, Anne. I really do. I think as women, we're constantly being questioned about our age and our relevancy and our shrillness. Are we screaming into the wind? And if we are, then are we being bitchy or are we just, you know, sticking up for one another? I don't know.
Well, and they're both relevant questions. And the answer is yes and no for both all the time. You know,
It's
somebody once, I read, oh God, I'm going to butcher this quote, but they said, like, you never know if a endeavor is foolish until you succeed. And you also never know if an endeavor is foolish until you fail. And it's the same thing, you know?
Right.
So
it's
constantly asking yourself those questions. And, you know, you talk about backing away from this role because you can't jump as high, because you can't be that inspiration. But earlier, you also told me that what you started to see what you could be contributing and the position you were in was actually holding you back from that.
Right.
Based on what you were just saying, it's that calling of saying, wait a minute, I could do so much more too. Yes, I can't jump as high. Yes, that is all true, but I'm not using that as an excuse because I'm also moving towards this other thing.
Correct.
Yeah. And our brain's always going to give us that argument, those excuses that sometimes are reasons, but sometimes they're excuses. And we've always got to be weeding through that and have the courage to do that.
Yeah, it is every day, right? It's every day saying, what can I do to contribute? And sometimes you're like, oh, I posted a quote on my Facebook page a couple of days ago. I'm like, sometimes a door closes and a window opens, but we spend so much time looking at the door that's closed and yearning for what's behind that door that we fail to see what's on the horizon in all of the other windows that have been opened, right? Because we it's the woulda, shoulda, coulda. I wish I would have done this. I could have done this. I could have been a contender. I could have, you know, I should have done all this stuff. Okay, but you didn't, so you can't change that. So what are you in control of? You're only in control of the future. What can you contribute to the future? And if you can make the path a little bit easier for someone like your younger self, so your 20-year-old self coming through the ranks who were like, oh, my God, this is so hard, and I wish I had a mentor. Can you raise your hand and say, yeah, you're me? 30 years ago, let me help you get to where you need to be because the industry needs you to be at this level.
Right.
And yeah, I may not get all the accolades and I may, you know, I'm not going to step on the stage and the spotlight on me and people cheering my name, but I can stand in the back of the room and saying that person that's getting the cheers and the claps and the snaps and the props, I helped to develop them. And that can be a very private moment that can help you step through the relevancy piece, right? You can still be relevant at any age as long as you have something to contribute, even to one person. It doesn't have to be to a group. It can be one person that you make a difference in.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
And it takes courage on both sides, not just for us to say, okay, here's how I will stay relevant and here's how I'm going to make the future better, but also from that younger person coming up, from anybody who's ever been mentored or taught or, you know, coached by anybody else, being open to say, I don't know everything. This person can probably teach me something let me take this in, and having the courage to put down the ego of all the things you know so that
Correct.
You can be open and learn and become that next rock star.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
I love it. So if you had one piece of advice for somebody who is starting to feel irrelevant in their job, starting to feel like, ooh, maybe this chapter is coming to a close, whether it's because of age or whether it's because they don't like it anymore or whether it's because of layoffs or changes in the organization, whatever, mm-hmm. what advice would you give that person who is on the edge of feeling like, maybe there's somewhere else I need to go outside of this comfortable little spot I've been for a really long time?
Yeah, what's your why? Why did you get into what you're doing? Did you step into teaching because you wanted to make a difference? Great. Well, if you're feeling that you're not relevant, then step back and say, well, why did I become that? Because I can be a teacher of other people. I don't have to be a teacher of students. I can be a teacher of teachers. If you got into fitness because you wanted to inspire people who are just working out, great. If you can no longer jump higher or move as quickly or whatever, what can you do to continue to inspire people to do that? What's your why? Figure that out. Because if you need to go back to school, if you need to take another certification, if you need to step out of that world for a while and then step back in and be fresh, look at it with a different perspective. Because sometimes when we're in it for a long time, we get jaded and we, you know, the scales kind of fall in front of our eyes and it becomes a day-to-day job. And when you can pull yourself out and say, let's distill this down to its very basic element. Why did I get into this in the first place? And if your why has changed, that's great. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then figure out what your next why is. Maybe you're not going to do fitness anymore. Maybe you're not going to teach teachers anymore. Maybe you're going to open up your own studio and just teach to lay people. Maybe you're going to become a nurse and do something else. Maybe you're going to, I don't know, become an electrician. Whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is it that's going to inspire you and take you to that next level in your life? Because you're going to impact people every single day. Every single day. Do it in the best version of yourself that you possibly can.
Well, and I think the important piece of exactly what you're saying is the best version of yourself. You're going to get a lot of messages about what you should do, what other people are doing, what the common path is. And I've found over the 4 years that I've been trying to build a speaking business that I had to find my own way of doing this thing. And yeah, I want to take in, you know, but the other people may say, oh, Evelyn did that. I would choose something completely different. I wouldn't have taken that path. Awesome. Great. Do you.
Then do you.
Right?
Exactly. You don't have to do something that someone else tells you to do. You can listen to someone else speak and say, you know what? I agree with some. I don't agree with others. That's fine. Then I'm going to find my own path, but I'm going to listen and respect the people that have come before me and help that kind of lay the foundation and the bricks, right? When you cross a bridge, it's not because you built it. Someone else came before you and built the bridge. And you're crossing the bridge because someone else laid the timbers. You can't stand on the shoulders of people that got you somewhere and not look down and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever forget the people who got you where you are. And as someone who's been there, you can't also say, well, you know, I've done mine. I'm going to step aside and you're going to fall. We have to link hands and hearts and minds and hold people up and hold them accountable and hold ourselves accountable. This, it gets sticky and it gets tricky and it gets ugly, but sometimes you kind of just have to do it.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of courage.
It does. It takes the courage to pull back and say, this isn't about me. Am I laying a foundation that, and people might forget me in 10 years? Are you courageous enough to say, yeah, I'm going to do this thing and no one's going to remember who I am? That's courage right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not doing it because you want to be remembered. It's because you want to lay a foundation. you know, to be able to step aside and say, I'm going to let this other person do it because they can do it better. That's courage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ability to look at yourself in your own mirror or in a way that other, I don't know, I'm going to butcher this too, but in the way other people see you and say, well, if other people see me this way, maybe I need to pull out and say, I'm going to restructure myself or reinvent myself and come back stronger and simpler and better. And
yeah.
Courage is what gets us through every single day, right? You get up every day mm-hmm. and you're like, today I'm going to, and it takes courage in little tiny amounts and really big amounts to do what we need to do and impact
yeah.
people, individuals and groups and ourselves. We have to be courageous to be supportive of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you
and
were using
we're
a word when we were talking before the recording, you were using the word untethered. And
yeah.
So many people need to realize you can do whatever you want. Like, there's no rules. There's, you know,
right.
make up your rules. Yeah, as long as you're not hurting anybody,
right.
you're still paying your bills and you're feeding your children and, you know, you're taking care of your responsibilities, make your rules. And that is scary.
Yeah. For 12 years, I've been following the structure of one particular company that has told me, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. This is how you say this. And now I'm not tied to them anymore. And I'm like, I kind of know how to do that already. Because even though you told me this was a structure, I kind of found my own way. And I'm not unintelligent. I'm not uneducated. I can figure out how to say the same thing, but in a different way. So being untethered is scary. There is no one holding you accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable. There's no one, you can't look back on saying, well, they told me to say that, right? It's all on you. And
it's
now
on you.
You, right? And so now you have to have the courage to say, nope, this is all me. This is what I'm telling you to do, and it's all me. If you have an issue with that, you have to come back at me.
Mm-hmm.
Until you can find your own structure, or company, or a conglomerate, a group of people, a tribe that you can attach to. When you're untethered, there's no parachute. You kind of have to come up with your own way.
Yeah.
And you're right. That's a little bit scary.
A little bit, yeah. And it comes to, you talked about a little bit. You talked about, I am smart enough. I have developed this knowledge. I'm not an idiot. Like, because that voice of doubt says, oh, you're going to be Evelyn Ortman Enterprises now, huh? Oh, you're going to do this? Oh, you're going to mess this up, sweetheart. Like, your inside voice says all this mean stuff, and you've got to argue with it with, hey, I've spent 12 years polishing my game to be the best at this. I know this.
Right.
I know this works. It may not be for everyone. Awesome. And that's the part that also takes courage, is saying, I can't make everybody happy. I'm not a taco.
Yeah, it's easy when you're attached to a company, right? An international mm-hmm. company. If you screw up, they're like, well, you know, you can point back at us and say, well, we kind of told you to say that. When you're no longer tethered to a company like that, and it's you standing in front of a group of people saying, well, this is my opinion on how you should run your business. They're like, well, who are you and what do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you no longer have that hashtag, right, that you can you can shift to and say, well, they told me to say that. No, it's not them telling me to say that. It's me and my experience telling you that, you know, you might not want to put these classes back to back to back on your group fitness schedule, or you may not want to hire that particular instructor to be at this prime time slot because they're just not prepared. Or whatever, whatever it is, you know, whatever your, it doesn't have to be group fitness. That's, I keep touching back on that because that's my experience
the
last 12 years. That's been my world. It could be anything, right? It could be parenting, for God's sake, right? If, you know, the school calls you and says, hey, your kid bullied someone, and your kid comes home and you're like, why are you being a dick? Like, that might not be the best way to parent, but that might be my first reaction. Like, hey, man, don't be a dick to people in your class. And then, you know, Dyfus calls you and like, why are you calling your son a dick? Because he was being
a dick. No wonder he's calling everybody.
Then, I don't know, am I doing it wrong? Then can someone help me not do it wrong?
This is
I don't know. This is why I'm not, why exactly? I have
a cat. My mom said they can't go out with me. But I'm like, they're like, I got the kids tonight. I'm like, put them in the yard, give them some food, and get your butt out here. This is why I
right? Well, when I had a dog, it was like, I could put my dog in a crate with some treats. You can't do that with kids.
Yeah.
They call the
apparently
police
they
on
don't
you.
Like it when you do that. Yeah, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave them in the car. And you know.
That's not appropriate, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, well, oh, Evelyn, man. You're a rock star, and I'm so excited.
You are a rock star, Aunt Bonnie.
So excited to see your journey and age gracefully with you.
And, yay!
And watch this courage, you know, as we get on, as we got on and we started catching up, I said, you know, I'm terrified every day. And you're like, yeah, that means you're moving and you're doing stuff. And just because we can't jump as high doesn't mean we're not making giant ripples. And
absolutely, man.
See where you're headed. So I'm going to make sure that I put any information so that people can get in touch with you if they want to. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. You're the bomb.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Oh, I'm so excited that we got to connect again. I forgot how much I missed your face.
I miss your face, too.